So how is everyone finding it?
Very
hot.
Well, this is nothing because the ocean is quite still. Like, you can't imagine what will happen if there's a storm. So are you prepared for that? You were there in that.
Yeah, I can't remember it being so rocky.
Yeah, remember the last couple of days of last. Yeah, last couple of days were quite kind of. Radhanath Maharaj became sick and he had to leave because he was feeling quite sick. And did everyone sleep well?
Yes.
Did anyone feel seasickness? Anyway, if you feel sickness, then there are a couple of doctors here. Like Sanya is here and Suman.
Sachi Mata, Guru
Smarana. Oh, Guru Smarana. Oh, right, that's true. Sachi Mata also, Guru Smarana.
Krishna Sakha. Krishna Sakha.
Four doctors from Fiji.
Four.
Krishna.
There are more doctors than patients.
Gita Kirti was saying, if anything happens to us, you know, no one is here.
So all the doctors are here.
We said we're going for Maharaj.
So Fiji is empty of doctors.
What is there? Rupanuga.
But Rupanuga is in Australia.
Oh, he's in Australia?
No, he's back.
Oh, Rupanuga is back on it? So, and how do you all like the breakfast?
Very good.
Very good, okay. We'll tell our South Indian chef. That person is very nice, the chef. They're very eager to kind of, you know, serve us nicely. And everyone is saying Hare Krishna to us. See, everyone became pure devotees. You know the sign of Uttam Adhikari, the highest devotee.
You see, everybody is keeping.
No, besides that, the highest devotee is by seeing him, everybody starts to chant Hare Krishna. Well, I was hiding in my room.
Have you had breakfast?
Yes, I took some breakfast. And those who are at the back, can they hear me? We try to have a sound system, but that's the time actually I thought, you know, like, you know, if we have our kirtan and the sound system, then the whole boat will be rocking. It'll be doubly rocking. So one rock is already with the waves and other is the rocking with ecstasy. And anyway, so no one felt any inconvenience, yeah? Everyone is happy? So are you all ready for the seminar?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. How many of you know what the seminar topic is? Don't know? Brihad Bhagavatam. Brihad Bhagavatam. Okay. Brihat ka matlab kya hai? Ab tak to Hindi bolte hain. Bada, bahut acha. Aur Bhagavat? Bhagavat means? Yes, about the Supreme Personality of God. Amrit means?
Nectar.
The nectarian. Bada description. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We know of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is a chota description. And Brihad Bhagavatamritam is bada description. So, Brihad Bhagavatamritam is actually giving the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Or what about the knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavat also, Bhagavat and Bhagavat. Bhagavat means about the Lord, about Bhagavan. And Bhagavad means from Bhagavan. Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna. Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita. And Srimad Bhagavatam is about Sri Krishna. The glory of the narrations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's pastimes and qualities. So, Brihad Bhagavatamritam was actually written by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Now, who is Sanatana Goswami? How many of you know who is Sanatana Goswami? Raise your hand. I can see that many of you are feeling lazy.
Too much food.
Okay, I'll make you raise your hand. How many of you do not know about Sanatana Goswami? Okay. And how many of you do not want to lift your hands? Okay. I failed. I couldn't make all of you raise your hand. Sanatana Goswami is an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a very intimate associate. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had 6 principal associates. Out of them, though they are actually known as the Goswamis. The Goswamis. And among those 6 Goswamis again, 2 of them were principal. And they were Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. They were 2 brothers. And they were the ministers of the King of Bengal. Very, very exalted position. They were not only the ministers, they were the 2 principal ministers. One was the chief minister and the other was the finance minister. So, although they were situated in such exalted position, they were actually great devotees. And when they met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they left everything and went to Vrindavan. Like Rupa Goswami was the first one to leave, but when Sanatana Goswami wanted to leave, he was so important for the Muslim king. Mind you, the king was Muslim, but the ministers, 2 principal ministers are Hindus. So the king was so fond of Sanatana Goswami and dependent so much upon Sanatana Goswami that he refused to make him resign. Not only refused to make him resign, but when he saw that Sanatana Goswami was determined to resign, he arrested him and put him in prison. Like Sanatana Goswami, after meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, became so much affected by.
They'll have Hindi translation.
They're having. Translation chal raha hai. Sunai de raha hai. Acha, samajh mein aa raha hai. Okay. Thanks for your very concern. Om. वहाँ जाके बैठ जाना. Good. यहाँ से चले जाओ, वहाँ से जाने का रास्ता. So Sanatan Goswami became so much affected by after meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he lost all interest for materialistic activities. And he stopped going to the court. He stopped going to the king's court for ministerial affairs. And when the king wondered what happened to Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Goswami sent message that he was sick. So the king sent the doctor. And doctor went back and told him that he's all right. There is nothing wrong with him. So then the king himself came to Sanatana Goswami's house. And at that time the king found that the Sanatana Goswami was surrounded by other brahmanas, learned brahmanas, and they were discussing Krishna topics of Krishna consciousness. So the king asked, what happened? You said that you are sick, but the Rajvaidya, the Vaidya or the physician of the king himself came and said there was nothing wrong with you. And now I can see that you are all right. You are kind of sitting with others and discussing about your God. Then Sanatana Goswami said, you see, my sickness is not of the body, but my sickness is of the mind. And I have become totally disinterested in mundane affairs. So, please release me. So the king said, look, you are like my elder brother. And your younger brother is a bandit. He goes to different places, kills people, loots their property. And you are the one who is actually maintaining the kingdom. So if you resign, then what will happen to the kingdom? Your younger brother is not able to maintain the kingdom, rule the kingdom. All he does is, because he goes and fights battles and conquers kingdom and things, he said, he identified himself as a bandit. A king is actually a bandit that way. And when that reminds me how the king is a bandit. When Alexander was in India, or rather he was in the Indian territory, in the border of India, once one robber was arrested and brought to him for judgment. So the robber told him, you are not in a position to judge me. He said, why is that? He said, because I am a bandit, but you are a bigger bandit. So how can one bandit judge another bandit? I just thought of it. So but Sanatana Goswami told him, no, I don't want to. Please let me go. So the king said, okay, come with me. I'm going to Orissa to fight with the king of Orissa. So you come with me. Sanatana Goswami refused, and then the king told his guards, bodyguards, to arrest him and put him in prison. And then Sanatana Goswami escaped from the prison. That's another story. I don't. Maybe some other day I'll give a seminar on the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and that's also a very nice topic. But today let's stick to Brihad Bhagavatamritam. Today what I'll do is I'll give the overview of Brihad Bhagavatamritam, so that when the story unfolds, then you at least know. Should I give you all the overview first, or keep a suspense?
Overview.
Suspense. Movie, though, when you go to see a movie, then they say don't tell them the story. But when you go to school to learn something, then it's better that you know the whole course. See, Brihad Bhagavatamritam, what is the purpose of... Okay, what is the purpose of the Vedas? How many of you remember what is the purpose of the Vedas? Very good. Vedaishcha sarvair ahameva vedya. In all the Vedas, Krishna is the only one to know. All the Vedas are the purpose of the Vedas is to reveal the identity of Krishna. So although the Vedas are vast and Vedas are dealing with different aspects, but the ultimate objective of the Vedas is to reveal the identity of Krishna. Until it comes to that point, then the purpose is not served. Are you familiar with one verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita which says that Karmakanda and Gyanakanda are two pots of poison? Karmakanda section of the Vedas, it's a Veda. Vedas, important branch of the Vedas. But it's saying that it is a pot of poison. Gyanakanda is an important aspect of Vedas, but described as a pot of poison. Why is that? Because it's not revealing the identity of Krishna. So unless and until Krishna is reached, all these different aspects of Vedas are meaningless. Are not only meaningless. You see, Vedas are supposed to be amrit. And what does poison do? Vedas, Vedic wisdom is nectar. Nectar means that destroys the possibility of death. And what is poison? Poison, what does the doctor say? Poison causes you death. Poison kills. But amrit makes you immortal. So that's how we can see that unless and until it comes to Krishna, then it is acting in a opposite way. It is not serving the main purpose, but it's actually functioning to serve the opposite purpose. Okay. So is this point clear? What is the purpose of the Vedas? To reach Krishna, to understand Krishna and become a devotee of Krishna. So the purpose of Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedas. Why? Because Bhagavatam is directly going to Krishna. That's why these two scriptures, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, are so important. Bhagavad Gita directly describing Krishna. Krishna himself is revealing his identity. And Srimad Bhagavatam is describing Krishna's identity. So that's why these two books are so important. That's why Srila Prabhupada gave so much importance to these two scriptures. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are based also on these two scriptures. So this is how we see the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam. What is Bhagavatam doing? Like Srimad Bhagavatam has been identified as Krishna's body. Just as Krishna has his body, Srimad Bhagavatam is also Krishna's body, because Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. In the body, what we have? The body has different limbs, legs, thighs, belly, chest, hands, neck, face, forehead, head. How many did you get? 12. Two legs, two thighs, one belly, 5. Chest, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Now consider how many cantos Srimad Bhagavatam has? 12. Do you find some similarity? First two cantos are Krishna's legs. Third and fourth cantos are the thighs of Krishna's body. Fifth canto is his belly. Sixth canto is his chest. Seventh and eighth cantos are his arms. Ninth canto, neck. Tenth canto, okay. Now, the face is the most important aspect of the body. Can you recognize a person by seeing his legs? Can you recognize a person seeing his hands? But when you see the face, so 10th canto is the smiling, beautiful face of Krishna, and that's why the 10th canto is actually revealing the actual identity of Krishna. Then 11th canto is the forehead, and 12th canto is his head. So you got the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this body, the face is the most important thing, and through the face, one actually gets to recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In 10th canto, we get a clear understanding of who Krishna is. Now, when you see Krishna, then what happens? Very good. Did you hear her? Now we really needed a microphone. When you get to know Krishna, what happens? You surrender unto him. And that surrender leads to bhakti or devotion. So devotion to Krishna is actually the purpose of knowing Krishna. Devotion means loving exchange. And, okay, how many of you read Chaitanya Charitamrita? We have a very learned assembly here. Very good. How many of you have Chaitanya Charitamrita at home? Very good. How many of you think that it's important to read Chaitanya Charitamrita? Even better. And how many of you are going to read Chaitanya Charitamrita when you go home? I am feeling very enlivened. Okay. In Chaitanya Charitamrita there is a chapter that is describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's meeting with Ramananda Roy. And in that discussion, through Ramananda Roy's discussion, the ultimate goal of life is becoming established. Through the discussion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings has been described. Okay, what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teach? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we find Krishna in three places. We find Krishna in Dwarka, we find Krishna in Mathura, and we find Krishna in Vrindavan. And it has been described that in Dwarka, Krishna is complete, Purna. And in Mathura, Krishna is more complete, Purna Tara. And in Vrindavan, Krishna is most complete, Purnatama. So Vrindavan Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And in Vrindavan, the loving exchange, in Vrindavan, the relationships are, in Vrindavan, Krishna has his friends. So that's the intimate relationship, friendship. In Vrindavan, Krishna has parents. That relationship is even deeper. You have your relationship with your friends, but you have relationship with your parents. Which relationship is deeper? With your parents. You have your relationship with your parents, and you have relationship with your wives or husbands. Which one is deeper? I hope the parents don't mind that. So this is how we get to see how the relationship becomes deeper and deeper. And so that's how in Vrindavan, the relationship that Krishna has with the gopis, that is the most intimate relationship. And among the gopis, who is the best? Srimati Radharani. So this is the ultimate spiritual understanding. Krishna's relationship with his devotees, and among the devotees, his relationship with the gopis is the highest. And among the gopis, Krishna's relationship with Srimati Radharani is the highest. And now, we may hear that, we may say that, for our understanding, Srila Sanatana Goswami very systematically presenting that. Brihad Bhagavatamritam has two parts. First part is describing the best devotee. And the second part is describing the journey of a devotee to the spiritual world. So this is what the two parts are describing. So now I will discuss about the first part, and maybe in the afternoon session we will discuss about the second part. So the first part is beginning with, okay, I'll give you the background also of Brihad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is what? Parikshit Maharaj is about to leave the planet. Hari bol, class mein late mat aana. Pata nahi tha. Okay, theek hai.
1 hour difference.
Huh?
There's 1 hour difference from Sydney right
now. No. The Sydney time and this time is same. No excuse. And so, anyway, it happens. Actually, if Damodar Prasad didn't wake me up today, then I wouldn't have been even half an hour late. I would have been totally missing from the class. He came and woke me up. I fell asleep. Kabhi-kabhi hota hai aisa. Koi baat nahi. I perfectly understand. Right. I'm sure you're having a very nice sleep. Satya Maharani was telling me, it feels like a baby being in the cradle. So, we all had babies in a big cradle. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is actually Sukadev Goswami instructing Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by the Brahmana boy Sringi that in 7 days' time he is going to leave this planet. He is going to die, being bitten by Takshak, a celestial snake. So, Parikshit Maharaj then, when he got to know that he has only 7 days left, what did he do? He left everything. And so what do you learn from that? If we get to know that we have 7 days left, what should we do? Realize, oh, I didn't write the will. So call the doctor. So call the lawyer. Okay, go sort out in all the bank account. And now, should you do that? People generally do that before they leave. But what, as a devotee, what should one do? The devotee should say, okay, now only 7 days left. Fix our mind. Okay, but what if the devotees are not there in the cruise? good idea. But anyway, I do not want anyone to come to leave his body. So, Parikshit Maharaj just said, okay. He left everything, went to the bank of the Ganges, and started to prepare himself for leaving the body. And at that time, Sukadev Goswami came. And everyone recognized the exalted position of Sukadev Goswami. They didn't know Sukadev Goswami. The only person who knew Sukadev Goswami, who was also in that assembly, was his father, Vasudev. But no one else knew Sukadev Goswami. But they heard about Sukadev Goswami. And when they saw this 16-year-old boy, so looks so exalted by appearance. Like the saintly personalities can recognize a person by their appearance. Those symptoms are not akin to the material symptoms. They are spiritual symptoms. Anyway, So they recognized, and although all these exalted personalities were there, like Vasudeva was there, Narad Muni was there, all the sages were there, they offered Sukadeva Goswami the seat. And Sukadeva Goswami then started to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. For 7 days he spoke about Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he completed Srimad Bhagavatam, at that time, Uttara Devi, you remember who is Uttara Devi? Yes, Parikshit Maharaj's mother, wife of Abhimanyu. So Uttara asked Parikshit that, my son, will you tell me what did you hear from your spiritual master? What instructions did he give you? What did you understand? So now, before you leave, you please give me that knowledge. And then Parikshit Maharaj started to describe what he heard, what he understood. And that is the Brihad Bhagavata. Now, Brihad Bhagavatamrita is what Parikshit Maharaj told his mother is being narrated by Jaimini to Janamejaya. Janamejaya, who is Janamejaya? Janamejaya is the son of Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit Maharaj's son, when he got to know that the Takshak was the cause of his father's death, he decided to wipe out the whole serpents community. Kill all the serpents. Oh, you killed my father? Okay. I'll kill your entire family. All the snakes he decided to destroy. And he arranged a sacrifice. That was the power of the sacrifice, was bringing all the snakes from everywhere and making them fall in the fire and getting burnt. So we can see this is how powerful is the how powerful these sacrifices can be, and how great is the power of the mantras. Just by chanting mantra, they are causing all the snakes. And not only the snakes from this planet, snakes from all different places. There is a kingdom of snakes, where there are only snakes and snakes and snakes. Called Nagaloka. It's underworld. Underneath. There the king of the snake is Vasuki. And even Takshak was being attracted and coming to be fall on the thing. So Indra is a friend of Takshak. So Indra was trying to protect. And then finally, Janamejaya was advised not to take revenge like that. Like, things happen by the arrangement of Krishna. Not exactly arrangement of Krishna, by the arrangement of karma. Now this is one thing also we have to understand, that so often we say, well, why Krishna did that? Why Krishna did that to me? For example, when Prabhupada was in Germany, some people came to Germany, some elderly people came to Srila Prabhupada, and they said, we don't believe in God. Because if God was there, then why our husbands and children died in the battle? There was a big battle, Second World War. So many people died. So their complaint was, if God was there, then why did he allow this to happen? All our children died. All our husbands died. You know what was Prabhupada's answer? Prabhupada's answer was, When you started the war, did you consult God? You started the war on your own, and now you're blaming God. The point is, in this material nature, Krishna doesn't get involved. Krishna left it up to us. As we act, we get the result. So whatever happens to us is our own doing. It's not that Krishna is doing. If something wrong happens, we have to understand that in the past I have done something, that's what caused this. And similarly, we have to recognize the way we are acting now, we are actually going to be responsible for those actions. Krishna, in this material world, you know how Krishna, unless he incarnates, how Krishna is involved in this material nature? Did he ever think of it? How Krishna is involved in this material nature? He is the super soul. Is the super soul acting? He's just standing there, witnessing. And whatever is, we are playing, we are doing. Krishna is just watching. And we are doing our actions, and as a result of our actions, we are getting the reactions. Guna, karma. There are three modes of material nature, and there is our action. When we act, our action takes place in different modes. And accordingly, we get the result. It's not the action is by itself is generating the result. It's the mode is also involved in that. How the modes get, modes affect the reactions. A person is crossing the road and a cycle comes and hits him. Somebody riding on a bicycle comes and hits him. And this person, being hit like that, he begins to cry. Okay. Another person is crossing the road, got hit by the cyclist. What did he do? He just got up and started to punch the cyclist. Another person is hit in this way while crossing the road, and he just gets up, throws the dust away, and tells the cyclist, "It's all right. It was my fault. I should have checked it before crossing the road." Right? All three people got hit. But three people acted in three different ways. The first one acted in mode of ignorance. Second one acted in mode of passion. And third one acted in mode of goodness. And accordingly they'll get the result. Action in the mode of ignorance, action in the mode of passion, action in the mode of goodness. So the way we act, accordingly we get the reactions. Anyway, so this is how King Janamejaya was advised and prevented from that sacrifice. Advised to stop that sacrifice. And then Janamejaya came across Jaimini Rishi, or Jaimini Rishi started to advise Janamejaya. And one of the things that he described, he started to tell him about the discussion that took place between his father and his grandmother. So Brihad Bhagavatam Ritam is actually Parikshit Maharaj describing to his mother Uttaradevi. So the first part is describing that a big sacrifice was being performed, not sacrifice, big spiritual gathering was there in on the bank of Ganga and Jamuna. Where does Ganga and Jamuna meet? Very good. Prayag. Three rivers meet. Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati. And that is a very holy place. Kumbh Mela takes place there. There are various other festivals there, like Magh Mela also. So in one such occasion, when all these saintly personalities assemble there, when the Vaishnavas get together, what do? They sing each other's glory. Right? Again, this is the difference between material nature and spiritual nature. In the material nature, when people get together, they want to hear their glory. They expect that everybody would sing their glory. Whereas when the devotees get together, they sing each other's glory. So are you all doing that? Anyway, you just got to know each other. So, and I'm sure very soon that will happen. You'll appreciate each other's association, you'll appreciate each other's qualities, and you will say, you are the greatest devotee. And that's what was happening. Like, Narad Muni was there, and Narad Muni felt, everyone is saying everyone else is a great devotee. Now let me find out who is the greatest devotee. So at that time Narad Muni saw that the leader of the Brahmana community there just came, and he started to worship his Shaligram. And a very nice arrangement was made, and he worshipped Shaligram, offering various types of bhoga and a grand decoration, grand worship. And after worshipping, he distributed the prasad to the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. And then he offered the prasad to those who were there. Like even the lowest of the mankind also, chandalas also got the prasad. And after feeding everybody, the brahmana took the prasad along with his family members. So seeing that, Narad Muni was so impressed. He started to consider that this is the greatest devotee. So Narad Muni went to him and told him that you are the greatest devotee, you are the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. But hearing that, the Brahmana became very embarrassed. And he started to tell him that what devotion did you see in me? I am a Brahmana. Worshipping the Lord is my occupation. So, as a result of my duty, I am worshipping the Lord. And where is the devotion? And you are saying that I such elaborately worshipped the Lord. What is my capacity? I am just a poor Brahmana. So, what is my ability to worship the Lord properly? But you know, there is a king in South India. So, go to him and you will see what grand worship actually means. So, Narad Muni, upon hearing about the king, immediately went to the king. You see, Narad Muni has the ability to travel anywhere. Anywhere he can just go, travel. So Narad Muni just went to the king and he saw beautiful temple, such beautiful deity of the Lord, and the Lord is being worshipped in such a grand way. So he approached the king and started to glorify the king. And upon hearing his glorification, the king became very embarrassed. And he said, I am just an ordinary mortal. What is my opulence and what is my ability? But actually, Indra is the king of heaven. And his devotion to the Lord is so great that the Lord himself has become his younger brother. And he personally protects him and he accepts his worship. So hearing that, Narad Muni went to heavenly planet. And he started to glorify Indra as the greatest devotee, greatest recipient of Lord's mercy. Then Indra started to tell Narad Muni that, well, you know my situation. What to speak of being a devotee? Like, I commit so many offenses to the Lord. But very mercifully he protects me. Very mercifully he maintains me. The actual devotee, actual recipient of the Lord's mercy is your father, Lord Brahma. So hearing that, Narad Muni went to Satyaloka and he saw Lord Brahma and started to glorify him. Hearing that, Brahma became very upset. He said, Narad, from your childhood I am telling you not to speak like that. At the beginning you thought that I was the greatest. But then I had to advise you, I had to tell you that no, I was not the greatest, Krishna is the greatest. And now also you are saying I am the greatest devotee. And Brahma started to describe all the mistakes that he made by giving benedictions to the demons, and the Lord had to come himself, take the trouble to come and rectify the situation. Those demons were torturing the devotees, the Vaishnavas, Brahmanas, the cows. So in order to protect them, the Lord had to come himself. And then Brahma started to tell that the mistakes that he made, he failed to recognize the Lord and stole his cows, stole his cowherd boys. So, after describing about his defects in this way, Brahma told, actually Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee. So, upon hearing that, what did Narad Muni do? He went to Lord Shiva in Kailash. Then Lord Shiva, seeing Narad Muni, became very delighted, started to dance when he heard Narad describing the Lord's glory. Pancho badano narode dhori premero shaghalo role Kamalashana, Kamalashana is Brahma. Nachiya vale, bolo bolo hari bol. Panchabadana, who has five faces? Lord Shiva. And Kamalashana, who is sitting on lotus? Kamal? Brahma. So when Narad Muni sings, then Lord Shiva embraces him and tells him, sing the glory, bolo bolo hari bol, hari bol. That means, sing the glory of Hari, sing the glory of Krishna. So then Narad Muni started to describe the greatness of Lord Shiva as the greatest devotee. As we also know, Vaishnavanam Jathasam. But Lord Shiva also told, started telling, Narad, please don't embarrass me. I make so many mistakes. He is so merciful that he forgives me. But the blunders that I make, and he started to describe that how he fought with Krishna. He is saying that I am his devotee and I fought with him, forgetting his identity, just in order to protect my devotees. But the Lord is so merciful that in spite of all my mistakes, he forgives me. So then Lord Shiva started to tell him that actually the residents of Vaikuntha are the greatest devotees. They are so exalted that they live with Lord all the time. They have the same appearance as the Lord. The residents of Vaikuntha has the same appearance as the Lord. And in this way he started to sing the glory of the residents of Vaikuntha. And then Parvati, Lord Shiva's consort, told Narad, actually, in Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Devi is the greatest devotee. So upon hearing that, Narad was just about to go there. Then Lord Shiva stopped him. Narad, actually the greatest devotee is Prahlad. Prahlad. The greatest devotee is Prahlad. And he started to describe. When the Lord appeared as Nrisingadev, he was so angry, that everybody was afraid to approach him. Brahma couldn't approach. I could not approach, seeing his fierce form. Even Lakshmi couldn't approach. But Prahlad, so therefore, your father pushed Prahlad, Prahlad, you go. And when Prahlad went, the Lord's anger immediately subsided. And he picked up Prahlad on his lap, started to shower his affection upon him. So in this way, Lord Shiva started to describe Prahlad Maharaj's glory. So then what did Narad Muni do upon hearing that? Did he still go to Vaikuntha?
No.
He went to Sutala Loka. Atal, Vital, Suta, lower planetary system. Below the Earth planet, there are Patala Loka. Lower planetary system. Atal Loka, Vitala Loka, Sutala Loka. So Prahlad Maharaj in Sutala Loka. Because Daityas live there. So Narad Muni then went and he started to glorify Prahlad Maharaj. And upon hearing his glory in this way, Prahlad Maharaj became very embarrassed. And he said, Narad Muni, my Guru Maharaj, Narad Muni is Prahlad's spiritual master. He said, you know that as a child I developed some attachment to to the Lord. That attachment was just some childish attachment. It was not really founded on proper knowledge. But the Lord is so merciful that He had been protecting me all the time. Actually, devotion means service. What service did I ever render to the Lord? I didn't render any service. But when it comes to service, just consider Hanuman. See what an enormous amount of service Hanuman rendered. And he started to describe. He jumped across the ocean to bring the message of Sita Devi. When he was in Lanka alone, he wiped out Ravan's army. One full battalion was wiped out. Not full battalion actually, regiment. Ravan's general, one general has one full regiment. Hanuman alone wiped it out. He killed Ravana's son. When he came. Then he burnt Ravana's capital. Look at the service he rendered. And then, when it was necessary to get that particular medicinal plant to revive Lakshman, Hanuman couldn't recognize which plant was that. There are so many plants there, and so he picked up the whole mountain and carried the mountain. See, if devotional service is a matter of service, then Hanuman is the greatest devotee. So then Narad Muni immediately went to King Purushavarsha. And while going there, he was chanting the glory of Lord Ramchandra. And he, hearing that, Hanuman just came running, jumping. Narad Muni was flying. Hanuman came jumping and he started to dance right there in the space, singing the glory of Lord Ramchandra. Then they came down. Hanuman offered Narad Muni a seat. Then Narad Muni started to describe Hanuman as the greatest devotee. So hearing that, Hanuman started to cry. Said Narad Muni, why are you inflicting more pain on the wound that is afflicting my heart? You are considering me to be the devotee of the Lord. If I was really a devotee of the Lord, then why did he leave me and went away? He left me behind. And in separation, my heart is constantly burning. So if you talk about the recipient of Lord's mercy, then go to Hastinapur. There the Pandavas are there. And he started to describe the glory of the Pandavas. So hearing the Pandavas' glories, how the Lord had always protected them, how the Lord is taking care of them, and they are so attached to the Lord that any kind of material condition is not affecting them. Under all circumstances, they are most peaceful because of their devotion and dependence upon the Lord. So hearing that, Narad Muni then went to Hastinapur. And in Hastinapur, when he started to glorify the five brothers and Kunti Devi, Then they, one after another, started to tell Narad Muni that how they are not really the devotees of Krishna. They are not the recipient of the Lord's mercy. And then they said that actually the Jadavas are the recipient of the Lord's mercy. The Lord has become their family member. They all have become related to each other. They're related to Lord with a family bond. And in this way, started to glorify the Jadavas. So hearing that, Narad Muni went to Dwarka. And he went to the assembly of King Ugrasena. And he started to glorify the Jadus, how they are the recipient of the Lord's mercy. And then Ugrasen started to tell that among all the Jadus, among all the Jadavas, actually Uddhava is the greatest devotee. And he started to describe that the Lord sometimes is here, sometimes he goes away, and we don't get to see him. But Uddhava is Lord's constant companion. He's always with the Lord. And the Lord is also, Lord also accepted him as his best friend, his advisor, his servant. And Uddhava also from his childhood, he didn't know anything but Krishna. When children play with toys, Uddhava used to play with the deity of the Lord. From his childhood, he developed such deep attachment. And then Ugrasena told that he is always with Krishna. He is in Krishna's house, Krishna's palace. And so when you go there, please tell Krishna that we all are waiting for him here. It's already so late. Why didn't he come as yet? So hearing that, Narad Muni went to Krishna's palace. And in Krishna's palace, when he went, he was so ecstatic that sometimes that his legs were wobbling as if he was faltering and falling down. His body was trembling, and with the prospect of meeting the greatest devotee. When he went to Krishna's palace, he found that Krishna was still in bed. And Uddhava, Satyabhama, Rukmini, Krishna's Devaki, Krishna's mother, they all are in great anxiety that Krishna is still lying in bed, covering his whole body with a chadar. And he is feeling such great separation from the devotees of Vrindavan. And the queen started to tell, yes, that's true, that during the daytime we see Krishna, that he's always so absent-minded, as if his mind is somewhere else. And at night when he falls asleep, he calls out by the name of the residents of Vrindavan, the cows of Vrindavan, the gopis of Vrindavan. And as if at night, he goes to Vrindavan in dream. So always Krishna is in Vrindavan. Although he is in Dwarka, but Krishna's mind is in Vrindavan. So then in this way, the discussion started Then why doesn't Krishna go to Vrindavan? And hearing that, Balaram actually started to kind of criticize Krishna. If he is already, his mind is always there, he doesn't consider the condition of the residents of Vrindavan. I went there and I saw their condition. They didn't eat anything since Krishna left. There, all the time, their life has become completely, the world has become completely void due to the absence of Krishna. Sunnaitam jagat sarvam govinda vidhavi. So this is how, and when Krishna heard that, Krishna started to cry. And he started to explain that why he can't go to Vrindavan. While speaking like that, Krishna fainted. Then everyone started to cry. From the court, from the assembly hall, Ugrasen could hear. So they all came running from the assembly. They came to Krishna's house and they saw Krishna is fainted. So Brahma also arrived there. So Brahma called Balaram. And he advised that take Krishna to new Vrindavan. In the middle of the ocean, Vishwakarma has created a new Vrindavan. So most rarely there he'll become pacified going there. And so Balaram dressed up Krishna like a cowherd boy. Dressed him in yellow garment, put forest flower on his neck, peacock feather on his head, tucked the flute in one side of the vest, and a beagle was hanging from his side, and placed Krishna on Garuda's back, and they flew to new Vrindavan. And Narad Muni started to watch from the space. And Balaram, placing Krishna on the bed, woke him up. Krishna, Krishna, wake up. So Krishna came back to his senses, woke up. Then he started to tell Balaram, you know, brother, I had an amazing dream last night. I saw that I went somewhere where I became the king. And I got married to so many queens. And he started to describe. Balaram said, okay, fine. Now let's go. It's been so late. All the cowherd boys are waiting for you. The cows are waiting for you. So, and then Krishna got up and he saw Mother Yashoda standing there, the murti of Mother Yashoda. And Krishna said, Mother, are you upset with me that I overslept today and I'm late for taking the cows to the pasturing ground? Balaram pulled him, come, it's already so late, don't worry. Yes, Mother is very upset with you. Why did you sleep till so late? And in this way, then when Krishna came across Radharani, Krishna could not resist himself. The way he started to express his feeling for her, love for her. Then again Balaram pulled. Then Krishna noticed Dwarka on the other side of the ocean from that island. And he said, brother, when did this new city come up on the other side of Jamuna? I didn't know that. So then Balaram said, Krishna, come back to your senses. You know, your devotees, the Pandavas, are in great distress. All the demoniac kings are trying to harass them, trouble them. So you have to do something. Then Krishna came back to his chivalrous mood. Who dares to hurt my devotees and cause pain to my devotees? I'll immediately wipe all these kings. And this is how Krishna came back to his senses. Now Narada Muni saw the way Krishna was dealing with Srimati Radharani's murti. From that, Narada Muni could recognize that Srimati Radharani is the greatest devotee. So this is the first part of Brihad Bhagavatam. So this first part we will discuss more extensively in maybe next two classes. So how did you like this instruction? What did you learn?
How many best devotees? How many best devotees here?
Yeah, who is the... Gradually we see different levels of devotion and who is the greatest devotee. Jadurani, who is the greatest devotee? So you admit, Jadurani admits. Jadurani does. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Yes?
I like the poisonous.
You like the poison?
Well, the snake.
Who made the poison snake? Okay, that is another story.
The sharks are dangerous.
Okay. You know how the snakes got the poison? Do you know?
By their tongue.
Huh?
By their tongue.
Okay, I'll tell you a story. You see, you know the demigods? And you know the demons?
I know about sharks and fishes and
okay, demon. Okay, there is one group called demon, one group called demigod. So they were churning the milk ocean to get nectar. Do you like nectar? No? Yeah. Okay, because you never tasted it. Right? When you taste it, you'll see it tastes much better than ice cream.
I haven't eaten ice cream.
Okay. Okay, it's much better than chocolate. Okay. Then they were churning the milk ocean. There's an ocean of milk. And then a whole lot of poison came out. Lord Shiva drank it. You know who is Lord Shiva? No? Okay, then how can I tell you the story? Okay, Lord Shiva is a very, very powerful person. And he's a great devotee. So if you're ever in difficulty, you pray to Lord Shiva that please save me. Right? Okay. Then Lord Shiva drank all the poison, otherwise the poison would have destroyed the whole world. And while he was drinking some, drops fell. And some snakes went and drank the poison. So that's how they got the poison. Right? So don't go near a snake. Alright?
Last time when I went to Kula Bird Park, I saw parrots and iguanas and snakes.
Okay. You're fortunate that in Fiji there is no snake.
There are snakes.
Oh. Big snakes or small?
Big ones.
Big one?
That's what Srila Prabhupada said. He said, this is
Krishna
Kalia.
Kalia, yeah. That's how he knew that Kalia was in Fiji.
Snakes doesn't exist.
Okay. So, any other question?
Thank you for the wonderful class, Maharaj. Maharaj, you said that we say that why did Krishna did this to us? We shouldn't think that way. But devotees say that, like, for example, when Yudhishthir Maharaj he was confused and he was taken to Bhishma Pitama. Bhishma Pitama said him that whatever is happening is the arrangement of Krishna. He was thinking that it's because of my past karmas. So Bhishma Pitama explained that it is the arrangement of Krishna. So
when Krishna is present, then Krishna's pastimes, whatever happens, is arrangement of Krishna. But are you acting with Krishna, on behalf of Krishna? Okay, that's the difference.
So
when Krishna is present, then whatever is happening, it's like a play. Right? Krishna's arrangement. But what is happening to us?
It's because of our karma.
Even if you are fully surrendered.
When you fully surrender, then also you realize that. Then what happens? When something good happens, you say it's Krishna's mercy. When something bad happens, you say it's my own karma. Whereas the materialistic people, when something good happens, they say, oh, well, it's all because of me. And when something bad happens, why Krishna did that to me? Not Vasudev Krishna, Brajendra Nanda.
Brajendra Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So, when we explain the pastimes, that's not. That's Radha Krishna.
Which?
Like when you explain that, you know, how Krishna was sleeping in Vrindavan and then back to
Vrindavan. Okay. Yeah, that's the Krishna of Dwarka. Krishna. Yes, what's your question? Brahman. Jo jisko adhyatmik gyan hai, wo Brahman hai. Brahma janati iti Brahman. Jisko adhyatmik gyan jai, matlab पूर्ण रूप से पूर्ण तरह से वो जो जानता है भगवान कौन है, भगवान का शक्ति क्या है, भगवान का क्रिया कैसे होता है, वो ब्राह्मण है. ऐसा नहीं जिसको एक एक रुपए वाला जनेऊ है बस वो ब्राह्मण बन गया. नहीं, ऐसा नहीं. यस. That was among, until certain point, Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee, as we are seeing. But that devotion, I mean, becomes even greater when it becomes even more pure with Prahlada. Then, as you go here, if it's a consideration, who is a greater devotee, from this understanding, Prahlad is a greater devotee or Shiva is a greater devotee? Prahlad. Okay. No other question?
Another interesting point I notice is all these devotees are glorified.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. All these devotees are not accepting their own glorification. They are always indicating someone who is greater than them. Now, that from that way we can see the difference between a more advanced devotee and a less advanced devotee. A less advanced devotee thinks that he is the only devotee. He is the best devotee. That's called Kanishtha Adhikari, third class devotee, who thinks that he is the greatest, he is the only devotee, not the greatest devotee. He is the only devotee. And others couldn't even become a devotee. And then, second class devotee recognizes Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He recognizes Krishna's devotees. He recognizes those who are innocent. And he recognizes those who are demoniac. And as a result of that, towards Krishna he has love. Towards Krishna's devotees he has friendship. To the innocent he has compassion. And to the demons he has neglect or disregard. So from that you can see, you can measure in which level you are. If you are thinking that you are the greatest devotee, then only evil will think that you are the greatest devotee. And others will think, well, at least he has become a devotee. And when you develop friendship with other devotees, then, and you are eager to preach to the innocent, then you are second class devotee. And those who see that everybody else is a devotee, only he couldn't become a devotee, that's the first class devotee. ये इसके द्वारा भगवान दिखा रहे हैं न्याय नीति का विचार एक तरह होता है भक्ति और एक तरह भीष्मदेव बहुत ज्ञानी थे इसलिए उनका न्याय नीति का विचार है न्याय मैं दुर्योधन का प्रजा हूं दुर्योधन राजा है तो राजा के पक्ष लेकर लड़ाई करना चाहिए चाहे किसी के साथ भी चाहे पांडव मेरा कितना प्यारे हो लेकिन दुर्योधन मैं दुर्योधन जिसके बारे में बताया कि मैं दुर्योधन का नमक खाया है इस सिलसिले में एक सुंदर कहानी है भीष्मदेव जब युधिष्ठिर महाराज को उपदेश दे रहे थे तो द्रौपदी मुस्कुरा रही थी भीष्म ने देखा पूछा द्रौपदी तुम मुस्कुरा क्यों रही हो तो द्रौपदी बोला कि आपका ये जो ज्ञान गर्भ विचार वो विचार कहाँ था जब सभा में दुशासन हमारे ऊपर अत्याचार कर रहा था तो भीष्मदेव बताया उस समय मैं दुर्योधन का खाना खा रहा था तो इसलिए मेरा खून खराब हो गया था और मेरा विचार भी गलत हो गया था विचार करने का शक्ति लेकिन वो जो खराब खून जो था वो आप सारे शरीर से निकल गया है तो आप मेरा मन का विचार सही हो रहा है तो इसलिए बताना है कि बूढ़े आदमी को नमक नहीं खाना चाहिए क्योंकि उसका प्रभाव पड़ता है ठीक है ओके हाउ मेनी ऑफ यू अंडरस्टूड व्हाट आई सेड हाउ मेनी ऑफ यू डिड नॉट अंडरस्टैंड ओके आई थॉट यू अंडरस्टूड आप लोग इतने अच्छे हिंदी बोलते हैं ओके द क्वेश्चन वॉज भीष्म देव इज वन ऑफ द 12 महाजन सो ही इज अ ग्रेट डिवोटी ऑफ कृष्ण बट वाई वॉज ही स्टिल शूटिंग एरोज एट कृष्ण So in that respect, I pointed out that Bhishma Dev was very wise in a way from material perspective, like question of morality, question of justice, question of right action and wrong action. So he considered that since he was the subject and Duryodhan was the king, it was his responsibility to fight on his behalf, even though Pandavas were so dear to him. So when it comes to the question of justice or righteousness, then that becomes a consideration. No matter how dear one is, I should stay on the path of justice. So that was his, and with that understanding he fought. But the main thing is that the ultimate consideration is not mundane morality. The ultimate consideration is devotion to Krishna.
And was he?
He
was very devoted.
He was a great devotee. He's one of the 12 Mahajans. Okay, then in that respect, I gave another anecdote. When Bhishma Dev was advising Yudhishthir Maharaj, lying on a bed of arrows, just before leaving his body, Krishna and Pandavas came to see him, and Bhishma Dev started to advise Yudhishthir Maharaj how to maintain, how to run the kingdom, what is the consideration of justice, how a king should be just and fair, must be situated on the path of dharma. So at that time Bhishma noticed there was a trifle smile in Draupadi's face. So he asked Draupadi, "Draupadi, why are you smiling?" So Draupadi said, "Where was your wisdom when Dushasan was trying to disrobe me in the assembly?" So Bhishma Dev replied, "You see, Draupadi, at that time I was eating the food of Duryodhana, and as a result of that, my consciousness became contaminated. But now, all those bad bloods have been drained out of my body, and now my consciousness became purified." Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Srila Prabhupada. What time is lunch?